The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The problem here is that you jump on one sort of crime, one crime committed by one name that sounds exotic, one brown face, rather than looking at all of the domestic terror that we face, including what the FBI says, you know, is a really big problem, which is young white men in America.
Are we still in the post 9/11 era where we're going into Muslim communities and assuming that people there need to be surveilled for terrorism, when this terrorism is clearly happening in all kinds of different forms, including people who have absolutely no ties to Muslim communities?
Well, and then add to that, America is beset by conspiracy theories, right? It is Americans' favorite thing. And so does this get worse? I assume it gets worse when we have a much more politicized FBI, which we soon are going to have, one that is going to respond to what the boss wants. And the boss wants this to be about the border.
Timothy McVeigh's hatred of the American government was not tamed in any way by his service in the American military. So too with America's latest terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve, with an American military veteran driving a pickup truck through a crowd to murder 14 people. The American military veteran terrorist was then killed. No one who has ever crossed the southern border in the history of the existence of the southern border has killed more people in this country than Timothy McVeigh, who was born in Lockport, New York, the northwest part of the state, into a white Roman Catholic American family. The New Orleans terrorist, like Timothy McVeigh, reached the rank of sergeant in the United States Army. The simple fact is this country has suffered more deadly terrorism at the hands of American-born citizens who are veterans of the United States military than people who have crossed into this country at the southern border. That if you want to worry about terrorism in this country, the United States Army is a much bigger problem than the southern border. No one who crossed the southern border attacked the Capitol on January 6th, 4 years ago. But several veterans of the United States military violently attacked the Capitol on January 6th in an act of terrorism intended to terrorize Congress.
You know, yesterday I made the point about the protesters turning out in New York City in support of Intifada, in support of jihad, just hours after the terrorist attack in New Orleans. I mean, this commentary from Lawrence O'Donnell, it's worse in some ways. This kind of thing, just spewing this kind of propaganda. We made the point yesterday about the pride of America's power being broken. I referred you to the United States and Britain in prophecy, and I'll do it again on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week, if you can believe it. It's already Friday. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. That's rumble.com/trumpetdaily. A lot to get to on today's show. We've got the weekly segment of World Watch. We'll line that up for you later on in the show. I was thinking about also playing my father's latest Key of David program, the one that's posted just this weekend, on how Bible prophecy reveals how we won and then lost the Panama Canal. It fits right in with a theme that we've been touching on for the last couple of days. Again, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. How did we rise to become the single greatest superpower in world history? And how are we losing all of those blessings? Why so many curses? Like what we saw in New Orleans or on the streets of New York in the hours that followed? Or why do we have this kind of commentary? These are the takeaways from a terrorist attack, which should be pretty much cut and dry, right? A terrorist attack on U.S. soil. And the big takeaways, if you're Lawrence O'Donnell, Timothy McVeigh, and of course, Grandma on January 6th. There you go. These are the lessons? And meanwhile, you're just fueling. And a lot of it comes as a result of academia. I'll come to an article on that in a second as well. Even those inside of academia are seeing how much of a train wreck the whole institution has become because of its advocacy of left-wing causes. It's so politicized. And then to politicize a terrorist attack, that's what's going on. I mean, the pride in our power, one of our news gatherers, just went back and looked at the last, given what we talked about yesterday with respect to the United States and Britain and prophecy, just looking at the way Israelite nations combated terrorism, whether it was homegrown or abroad, going back over the last century. I mean, you could go back before that even and read about the British Empire and see how that the empire, for all of its flaws, it had some flaws, but how did it spread civility, law, and order around the world? How did it deal with savages, with terrorist movements, with terror groups that wanted to exterminate Jews? How did the great British Empire of old, how did it deal with those kinds of threats? I mean, we've been facing these kinds of threats, these kinds of curses for generations, and they just won't go away. Could you imagine commentary like what you just heard there? A day or two after 9/11? I mean, we were telling you at the trumpet that the whole effort was misguided because we weren't going after the head of the snake. That was the trumpet's forecast at the end of 2001. And it was spot on. But even then, you can't imagine. Could you imagine protesters taking to the streets the day after 9/11 in the United States advocating for jihad? Can you imagine that kind of a scenario? And yet that goes on today, following October 7. You saw it erupt into the streets of Great Britain and also here in the United States at our distinguished educational institutions, where young people turn out and they're brainwashed from day one. Look at the threat of terrorism and look at America's resolve or lack thereof. Why is it eroding so fast? Why can't we just come out with straight news, commentary? A terrorist attack. How are we going to respond? Instead, they go after white people. And then the army. I mean, the army's got its problems. We'll look at that in a second, too. But the white people, the army, and grandma. There you go. Those are the big takeaways. These are signs of a sick, sick society. It wasn't always like this. Certainly not when you saw the incredible rise in power and influence of Great Britain and the United States going back to the early 1800s. But look at the demise and these problems. They're just, they won't go away, and they're just getting worse. Listen to Kayleigh McEnany from last night, clip one.
Sadly, we're right back in the soup again, precisely where we were in January 2017, just as you referred to, with ISIS roaming free, cutting the heads off civilians on the beaches. We all remember those videos. And the acts in New Orleans remind us all this evil still roams. And when America fails to lead, when you don't engage in solid law enforcement and enforcing criminal laws, when you can't secure your borders, when you refuse to call out radical Islamic terrorism and punish it, you get the events of October 7th. You get the events of just this past week in New Orleans. You get a resurgence of ISIS. You get Al-Qaeda back. growing again after what happened in Afghanistan. This is a set of failed policies that lead directly to increased risks all across America, in our cities and all across this country.
You know, we've talked so often about the coming resurgence in America, but, you know, we've got to also talk about the resurgence of terrorism. That's real. That's real, as he's explaining there. And they're just pouring it. And you listen to Lawrence O'Donnell, and it's as if there are no threats. There are no threats. There's no terrorism coming across the border. It's just Timothy McVeigh. It's just the white guy that is here in the United States already. Certainly not the brown people. Certainly not those that are of color. It can't be. And here, even as Lawrence O'Donnell's giving you that commentary, or what passes for commentary at the start, you've got hundreds of thousands of Americans dying every day because of fentanyl, because of drugs just pouring across the border. And the CCP and other nations, they're quite happy to see us killing ourselves. Tucker Carlson had this segment some years ago about just how white men are struggling with depression, with drug addiction, with unemployment. It's happening all across the country. But you'd never know it listening to the talking heads as they spew their vile propaganda. And Americans just keep right on dying. They're raped, they're murdered. And it's been happening on a mass scale, never mind what these propagandists tell you. Listen again to Kayleigh McEnany's show last night, clip two.
Look, this takes me right back to 2016 when ISIS was growing strong again. It's not just their strength on the battlefield and the caliphate they had. It's their strength during their propaganda and their English language propaganda. And we have seen both of those things rise in the last year. 2024 was a year in which ISIS was given some safe havens to live in and to work out of. Some parts of Afghanistan, some parts of Syria. And it was also a year in which we started to see their online English propaganda rise up again because they had areas in which they could do this. So there was great concern that if you take what is happening around the world, you see these parts which are not thriving at the moment. That is where this propaganda will come from.
Safe havens for ISIS, for terrorist groups all around the world, even here at home. And then, as he mentions there, the propaganda gaining momentum as well. The recruits. This is from the Federalist. It says, early Wednesday morning, a radical Islamic terrorist drove his truck through a crowd of people celebrating the start of the new year in New Orleans. Gives the stats, 15 people murdered. It says Jabbar plowed through a crowd in his F-150 truck, draped with an ISIS flag, before shooting at police officers who fatally shot Jabbar. Jabbar recently converted to Islam and began acting erratically in recent months, according to the New York Times. A radical ideology. It says here, unfortunately, under the leadership of then FBI Director Christopher Wray, the FBI was too busy doing things like helping to orchestrate a kidnapping plot targeting Democrat Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer to catch a terrorist. Here are some of the others the FBI was too busy targeting while a terrorist became radicalized on U.S. soil. Nothing tipped them off about Jabbar. And it goes on and gives these examples how the FBI going after Catholics and Trump supporters and parents at school board meetings, pro-lifers, and then, of course, grandma. You got to get grandma behind bars. And meanwhile, people like Jabbar are being radicalized. And they're mowing people down on the streets of America. And nobody was tipped off. Nobody knew it was coming. No FBI. We played the clip for you from the FBI agent in the New Orleans area saying immediately, this is not a terrorist event. She couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, that's an FBI chief at the local level. Spewing propaganda because that's what they've been taught. That's all that they know to do. They watch MSNBC at night, so many of them. And they hear the cold open that you just heard on this show. Listen to this clip from Fox Business, clip 8.
Given what you know, how concerned are you that the FBI never picked up on Jabbar, that he was so far off the radar screen heading into this terrible murder?
Well, our intel inside the United States has got to pick up. You know, when it initially happened, when 9/11 first happened, I mean, we were putting FBI HUMET resources inside, inside mosques and places like that, looking for those terrorist type cells, right? Mm. And I think they pulled back far too much on that. And they certainly are doing it with the white, what they call white extremists, or, you know, sort of the far alt-right. But they're not doing it with some of these other groups out there that are inside our country and potentially, you know, may or may not have some threat inside them. So the FBI's got to do better on that, 100%.
I'll say, how could Jabbar be so far off the radar screen, as this guy puts it? And you've got others as part of the single largest investigation in DOJ history. That would be to get grandma behind bars. That would be January 6th. I mean, they just awarded Liz Cheney yesterday. Just sticking it to the eye of the incoming administration. Here you go. This is what we think of you. This is what we consider to be the greatest threat facing America. That would be Trump supporters. And here they are, faking kidnappings. Like, I'm talking about the FBI. Whitmer, as I read to you a moment ago. I mean, this article from Doug Murray, he's been pretty conservative for some time. But, I mean, October 7 really did open his eyes, not just to what happened in Israel, but what's happening in our nations in response to it. The support for the jihad. Doug Murray writes, for years, citizens of Israel have had maniac jihadists driving at them and trying to mow them down on their streets. But this got only cheers from the dolts on U.S. college campuses and New York street protesters. See, the college campuses support this. Then, just before Christmas, Germany again got a taste of this intifada. That was when a Saudi immigrant decided to plow a vehicle through a previously happy Christmas market. He killed 5, injured 200. And then on New Year's, it was America's turn again. There are several things to say about all this. The first is that although many people hoped the threat of jihadist violence had diminished, it has not gone away, with jihadist groups running Afghanistan and Syria, among other countries. They are back in control of vast areas as they were before 9/11. It's the curse that just won't go away. It just keeps getting bigger. The threat becomes more dangerous. And you have propagandists in the United States and Britain that are ready to cover it all up. Look at the rape gangs in the UK. That's been going on for decades. Just to switch over to that, in case I don't have time, a little bit later, this is from The Telegraph. Hillsborough, Windrush, Grenfell, all appalling national scandals that are listed whenever gross institutional failures are discussed. But there's another that is usually conspicuously absent, the deep moral stain of grooming gangs. It is perhaps the greatest racially motivated crime in modern Britain, perpetrated predominantly by men of Pakistani heritage against vulnerable white girls. And yet you never hear it. There's just a few voices, as I said earlier this week, Tommy Robinson, and some others. That's about it. And I've seen some tweets suggesting there's maybe as close to a million victims happening right at home in the UK, right in their backyard, and pretty much ignored by the regime media. It says even those who mention it tend to tiptoe around the subject. The grooming gang label is deployed euphemistically to sanitize depraved crimes and make them acceptable for public consumption. So we should start by calling it what it truly is. If you read the testimony of the victims, and believe me, it's tough, it's clear they were rape, torture gangs perpetrating the most heinous sexual crimes imaginable on an industrial scale. It's not much better here in the United States. You heard the cold open there. Back to Doug Murray. He says, after the 2001 attacks on this city, speaking of 9/11, America vowed there should be no safe havens for terrorists. That included ungoverned or Islamist-governed spaces abroad where terrorists can be trained and then come to the United States and other Western countries and carry out attacks. We made that vow. Do you remember 9/11? We made the vow, no more terrorist safe havens. Says here, such spaces were indeed reduced by U.S. and allied forces in the years that followed, but they've come back. You look at Afghanistan today. You look now at Syria. You look right here at home. You look on American college campuses. How do you explain it? Things happening today that you just could not have imagined happening even 20 years ago as weak. Really, I mean, there was a strong show of force, but it was misguided, as we said at the trumpet. It didn't go after the head of the snake. And now look at what we're dealing with. It says here, if the New Year's Eve attack had not been jihadist, but had, for instance, been some far-right white supremacist, every corner of our media and politics would be rightly lining up to demand answers. Instead, what do you get? Well, you heard it. They're in the cold open. It says, even after almost a quarter of a century, it's still different with jihadists. There are too many people who think that there are cultural sensitivities that have to be respected. It says, take the most prominent Muslim group in the U.S., CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, as well as being an unindicted co-conspirator in past terrorism cases, CARE's leadership is still full of people who are not anti-terror, but actually pro-terror. This is an organization here in the United States. It's quite an achievement. Well, skipping ahead, here's what CARE's current executive director, Nihad Awad, said after October 7, using completely untrue and offensive language, Awad told an audience, the people of Gaza only decided to break the siege, the walls of the concentration camp on October 7th. And yes, I was happy to see people breaking the siege. He was happy with what Hamas carried out. How's this possible? How does this happen in America? How is this allowed? How was the protest the other day allowed, coming out in support of jihad? What a difference. I mean, is there, what more proof do we need that those blessings God promised to Abraham, they are being taken away? We're being besieged by curses. I've got another article here about the state of higher education. I gave you the one about the rape gangs. You think You see what's going on. It's easy. If you don't know anything about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, I mean, it would be easy to just get depressed. Where is this leading? Listen to Pete Hegseth. He's tapped as the new head over at the Defense Department. This is what he said recently, clip 7.
When I joined the Army over 20 years ago, I did it like so everybody else because you love the country and you want to do anything you can to defend it. And the Army I see today looks nothing like the one I joined. And the one I joined wasn't perfect either. So I wrote The War on Warriors. It's not a book about how the military went woke. It's a book about how the military allowed itself to go woke. Mm. I mean, this military is an institution with a code. You swear allegiance to the Constitution to defend it. You believe your senior leaders will defend and make sure you have everything you need. It's an ultimate meritocracy. And what we've seen under Obama and then fast forward under Biden is an erosion of that meritocracy in pursuit of social justice or social experiments that has created a fragile military that is not as capable as people think. We're in uncharted territory as a society. This idea that we're trying to keep a republic while simultaneously telling the young people of that republic that it's a terrible country or irredeemably racist or misogynist. All of those themes seep into the view that young Americans have.
Trying to save the republic, protect the republic, even as our young people are taught to hate it. The Federalist piece I mentioned, higher education leaders finally start to realize that their industry is worthless. It's a great article. And maybe I can get into education a little bit more next week. But in keeping with this theme, I mean, the pride of our power being broken, that's straight out of Leviticus 26. This latest Key of David, we'll go ahead and save time to play the show in its entirety. Prophecy reveals how we won and lost the Panama Canal. That's my father's latest, this weekend's Key of David. So we'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll give you this week's installment of World Watch, and then we'll finish today's program or today's show with the latest Key of David. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
China debuted a new assault ship capable of launching fighter jets on December 27th. The Sichuan, China's largest combat ship so far, is designed to launch ground troops while providing air support. The Sichuan launch comes right after reports of China building a new nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. China has been working hard to modernize and expand its naval forces over the past decade. It has the largest navy in the world in terms of number of warships, and it continues to expand and update its navy in a challenge to the military supremacy of the United States. China has used its naval power to intimidate several nations around the South China Sea, waters which it claims as almost entirely its own. China has especially threatened Taiwan, claiming the island should unite with the Chinese mainland. To learn more about the threat China's navy poses to world security, read China is steering the world toward war. A shocking 57% of European Jews are considering leaving the continent due to the rise of anti-Semitic incidents, the president of the European Jewish Congress said at December's Action Matters Summit in Vienna. In some parts of Europe, the number of anti-Semitic incidents has risen a staggering 400% since the October 7, 2023 Hamas attacks on Israel. The summit in Vienna was focused on combating the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe, which is reaching heights unheard of since World War II. The solutions proposed include mandatory visits to Holocaust memorial sites for all Austrian youth, anti-Semitism research and education in schools, and a political recognition that October 7th was the worst attack against Jews since the Holocaust. These solutions will not work in the long term. To learn more about the root cause of the rise in anti-Semitism, read The One Minority Society Loves to Hate. Japanese Foreign Minister Takeshi Iwaya met with Chinese Premier Li Qiang in Beijing, China on Wednesday to discuss improving relations between the two rival countries. Japan is currently strongly allied with the United States and has long viewed China as one of its main enemies. The Chinese still resent Japan's brutal invasion and massacre of their people in World War II. While the meeting marked a positive turn for the two nations, Iwaya expressed concern over increasing Chinese military activity in the East China Sea and around the Japan-administered Senkaku Islands. Japan has felt increasingly threatened by China in recent months. China test-launched an intercontinental ballistic missile into the Pacific Ocean in late September. A Chinese military aircraft violated Japanese airspace in October. Since World War II, Japan has relied on U.S. support to remilitarize and face China's belligerence. By becoming a full-fledged military power, Japan has defied its post-war pacifist constitution. Bible prophecy reveals that Japan will turn away from America and use its military to back China and other Asian nations in a massive alliance formed against the U.S. To learn more, read Japan's Coming Betrayal of America. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Donald Trump wants to take back the Panama Canal. His recent comments have brought renewed attention to this outstanding seagate. Learn why America built the Panama Canal, why we gave it away to Panama, and how this terrible decision will soon cost our nation dearly. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Mr. Donald Trump has warned that the Panama Canal may have to be brought back to the United States. He's concerned about the high fees that are paid, and about 70% of that business is from the U.S. itself. And they, of course, sold it back to Panama for $1. Mr. Trump's also concerned about the control of the Chinese now over the canal, at least at both ends. They can be in charge so much that they can even stop the ships from coming through or whatever they're trying to do. This canal has been one of the most strategic canals in the world, especially during World War II and the Cold War that we've experienced in the past. I'll show you a little later that the gate, these are all called sea gates. Much trading goes on all over the seas. These canals are called sea gates, and there are many of them, somewhat like this, only not nearly as prestigious as the Panama Canal. It is called the gate, and the only one that is called the gate. So what is that all about? We know, if we look at these Bible prophecies, that God Himself, God gave that Panama Canal to America. That is a spectacular understanding. We need to know why and how that all happened. Axios.com by Ben Beckowitz said this: context, Panama granted the U.S. the right to build the canal and control the land on either side in 1904. In 1977, President Jimmy Carter signed a treaty that returned the canal to full Panamanian control by the end of 1999 in exchange for its permanent neutrality. So there's a permanent neutrality there. And if you look at what is happening with China, well, that doesn't sound like permanent neutrality. Something is dangerously wrong. So that's just a fact for all of the United States. And China just really has controls at both ends of that Panama Canal. And Trump said about that, if the principles, both moral and legal, of this magnanimous gesture of giving are not followed, then we will demand that the Panama Canal be returned to us in full and without question. To the officials of Panama, please be guided accordingly. So he is talking a lot about this. And then he goes on to say it was solely for Panama to manage, not China or anyone else. We would and will never let it fall into the wrong hands. That's what he is saying. So I want to talk to you today about this. Bible prophecy reveals why we won and lost the Panama Canal. Bible prophecy reveals why we won and lost the Panama Canal. I wrote a booklet on China's dangerous move against America. That was in 2021 when we published that. So I'd like to give you some material from that booklet, and you'll see an amazing story that has a lot to do with God. And who would even think about that? And who would even talk about that today? Well, I don't hear anybody else, but there's a lot in the Bible about the Panama Canal and other canals or sea gates. If you look at President Theodore Roosevelt, he really was sold on the Panama Canal, and it cost taxpayers just many millions of dollars to do that, plus 38,000 men, American men, they died doing the Panama Canal and working there. That was because of mosquitoes that were very deadly and caused a lot of problems there. I wrote, but the canal didn't just serve America. It slashed shipping costs and opened up free trade and all kinds of services and blessings to the whole world. I mean, it really was shared with the whole world. Well, it's not that way today. It is not that way. Charles Krauthammer, the late Charles Krauthammer, said this, said the strategic jewel that was the Panama Canal launched America to the rank of great power. It gave them that much more power, and everybody could see this was a world power. And Theodore Roosevelt was a powerful president. But anyhow, that canal was just a major part of making America great. The greatest single nation ever in this world. That too is prophesied. But let me read you just another quote from the booklet. Here's what it says. GlobalSecurity.org discusses how vital the canal was to America during World War II. Here's what they said. When the United States found itself enmeshed in a two-ocean war, the Panama Canal suddenly became the most strategic point on the globe. And we sold it for a dollar, even though we had created it and lost a lot of lives, thousands of lives and a lot of money. It is the single most strategic point for America. So, why did that all happen? Where was there a reason to ever give that back to Panama, which it really wasn't never theirs anyhow, and there was an agreement there that they would do, and we would make it all possible. And of course, they made money on that all the time. In the Cold War, we again had a lot of power through using the strategic gateway of the Panama Canal. No maritime gate on earth was as important to the U.S. as the Panama Canal, not even close to what they did and what that canal did. Then let me just show you a little about what's happening there now. On March 1st, 1997, the giant Chinese corporation Hutchison Whampoa took control of the American constructed ports at each end of the Panama Canal. Now they just took control. And they're our enemy, perhaps the worst right now. So that's the Communist Party. That corporation is, they just have that name on it, but it's the Communist Party that controls everything they do. And that's what is concerning President-elect Donald Trump. Here's what we wrote. An enterprise of China, the nation possessing the world's largest army, which aggressively expanded its Navy and Air Force, took control of the major sea transit gateway between the East and West. And they've got a lot of nuclear bombs, and they're very close to America. And located at the underbelly of America. So here we have these problems to contend with. The U.S. Naval Institute wrote that the Chinese will leverage their Latin American presence when they feel it's necessary. In other words, they'll get military bases there, and they can do it very quickly. And what can we do to prevent it without going in with a lot of power? Now, I believe China might not be so successful here. It could even diminish their power, but we, of course, we don't know. But they certainly are a superpower status today, and it, in many ways more powerful even the United States. So it would be a real loss if they were to lose, let's say, their power in the Panama Canal, and they just might do that. We don't know. But God just might give this gate back to America. I would not be shocked to see that happen, because there have been a lot of miracles that have happened during Donald Trump's political campaign. But just remember about that first assassination attempt on his life, when he really was shot in the ear and just miraculously turned the right way at the right moment, when the man shooting at him had a good take on his head, a good target right there. And many people believed, well, God had a hand in that, and he did. The Bible even tells you that. He said this man would war his way back. Well, that's war if ever there was a war. And of course, there was another one, but not quite so severe. They didn't get to shoot at him. But anyhow, China can move their military to the Panama Canal anytime they want to. It would be an easy matter to do. So Theodore Roosevelt, President of the United States, once famously said, "If we stand idly by, if we shrink from the hard contest where men must win at hazard of their lives and at the risk of all they hold dear, then the bolder and stronger peoples will pass us by and will win for themselves the domination of the world." That's the way it is in this world. And now we are being dominated by China in many ways because we've allowed it. He wrote a book, and his book was titled, "Fear God and Take Your Own Part." This is the President of the United States writing a book, "Fear God and Do Your Part." And he made America great. He made it a world power by creating the Panama Canal and controlling it until it was given away. He was blessed because he feared God. Now this is at the heart of everything. If we want to get it back to America, we'd better think about fearing God. and put things in God's hands and show God we fear Him, really fear Him. Not just act like it, but do that. Act it out and do it. We gave it back to Panama. They were threatening, just a small group of people were doing that. And then we began to say, well, we didn't want things going on and shooting going on down there. And we didn't have the power or the pride in our power at that time. And we didn't want to get into something like that. And so they began to talk about, well, it's not really that important. It's unimportant to us. And they were fantasizing like little children about this supremely dangerous situation. And what was wrong? See, we lost our world vision. In Genesis 35 in verse 11, I'll just explain that. It talks about a nation and a company of nations, and that is America and Britain. And you can read about that in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And if you don't have that book, you do need it. It tells you all about those two nations and their prophecy in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28 verse 52 says one specific way God would bless these two powers was by giving them control over gates. These gates are the maritime ports and passages that world trade flows through, and even land gates in a few cases. Did you know that Britain and America had possession of every major gate in the world? All of the gates, sea gates and a few land gates. Britain really ruled the world, and if I have time later, I can tell you about the different sea gates. I've got a list of them here, and if you get the booklet, you can read them that way, and that will save me a little time here. God gave all of those gifts to us. It's prophesied in your Bible. He said He would give us those sea gates of our enemies. And that's what made us great powers. But now we've lost them all, essentially. Why? Well, because we're not having pride in our power today like we should have. And God says in another place that He will break our will in our pride, in our power, if we don't obey Him. That's what God prophesies. So we have to take this seriously. But what awesome gifts this was to us. So many of them. And if you look at that, just to what it says in the Bible about those sea gates, even that proves to you where Israel is today. And I'll tell you, prophetic Israel is America and Britain. And then their prophecy about this end time is also adds Judah to the mix, because they have the scepter promise. We have the birthright promises, Britain and America. God has given us so much. And what are we doing with it? Notice Genesis 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashores. This shows just how immense the family of Abraham was, largely through the grandson Israel. And then notice he concludes this by saying, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. The gate. Think about that. Out of all the gates, he only calls one the gate. And I'll tell you, if you understand this, let me just read you something else here. Deuteronomy 28 specifies gates, plural, an accurate translation of the Hebrew word siarika, but Genesis 22, it is from the singular construct of the word the gate. It really is the gate. That's the way the Bible words it and explains it to us. So, which gate do you think that is? Well, that's the most powerful gate, really, that there ever has been in this world, at the right time, anyhow. And God says it's like the gate. It's really God's special gift to America. God gave it to us. Isn't that awesome that God would have the gate, a special gate to make us great and make us powerful like no other sea gate or land gate has done that? It simply has been the as powerful as the Panama Canal. So a great gift from God, a miraculous, powerful gift from God Himself. Don't you think we ought to think and see why Theodore Roosevelt feared God before he stepped out and did things like this, like making or creating the Panama Canal and all of the terrible deaths because of it? So here we had this awesome Seagate, I think the best one ever, if you look what it has done for America. Let me read you a quote here from the booklet. "The canal has served the world for decades. It is a great gift given by God through America and through his outstanding leader, Theodore Roosevelt, because he feared God." He feared God. Clearly, the Panama Canal is the gate. God speaks of it in Genesis 22 and verse 17. Yes, this one was done by a man who feared God. And God rewarded us because of that fear in one man. And there were a lot of others that thought that way at that time. But we are getting away from God today. This is not about a certain group of people, Republican or Democrat view. This is about all of us that God is talking about. That if we want to be great, we'll only be great through God and fearing Him. That's what it's all about. The gate. Emphasized, perhaps it indicates that this history, there may be more history here in this gate. Maybe President-elect or President Donald Trump, when he gets in office and is inaugurated, he has the power to do a lot of things, and there will be more miracles that come if we learn a lesson in that process. God wants to teach us how to fear God and not have to be punished for our sins. And that is a sin when you turn away from a gift like that God has given us. This is not a partisan view of things, but China is just gobbling up much of what belongs to America, and we're letting it happen. And that's going to end to a great extent very soon, but only for a temporary time unless we learn the lesson of fearing God. See, we do have to fear God. Well, in Genesis 49, verse 1, it talks about the last days. And Deuteronomy and Leviticus, the same thing. I don't have time to go ahead and get into all of this, but 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 28 tells you about this in Bible prophecy. And you can see that in the new throne of David. So, I don't have time to get any more than that, and I'll just end there. Until next week, this is Gerald Flory. Goodbye, friends.